You're with us for the morning show as we meet one of Wisconsin's Teachers of the Year. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Patty Zemke, a sixth grade health teacher in the Wausau School District. She teaches at John Muir Middle School and Horace Mann Middle School. She's one of five educators selected as 2022 Wisconsin Teachers of the Year. What do you want to ask this longtime educator about teaching in the pandemic? Teachers, let's hear from you. How have you changed? How has your approach to reaching your kids changed? 800-642-1234 to join in. Patty, congratulations and welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much.
So what have you learned from the pandemic about reaching kids, about teaching them?
Well, I've always tried to make connections with my students in the classroom. We spend at least 5 to 10 minutes every day just getting to know one another through silly questions and different activities. But during the pandemic, I got to see the other side of them as far as who's taking care of their brothers and sisters while trying to hold a Google Meet, and obviously met all their pets, because what cat doesn't like to walk across the keyboard when you're in the middle of a meeting?
What have you changed about your approach, your style of teaching? Because you are, you know, you do try to make such a connection with the students, and yet through screens, it had to be a whole lot different.
It was. But I actually think we got to know each other better through the screen. I know that sounds not what people would typically think, but in class, if you're just having a class discussion, not everybody answers. There's students that don't care to share what they think. On the screen, I got a written response from everyone. And so I was able to see what those students who wouldn't talk in the class would actually what they actually thought.
So there was a lot more writing involved.
Well, not a lot, you know, comment here, comment there, sentence. But I just really enjoyed it.
How did you?
It was harder to teach that way because it was hours of reading and commenting. But it was worth it.
Did you have any challenges in keeping their attention in the virtual setup?
I do not think so. I had probably 90 to 100% participation because we just got to talk. So I know when we would have staff meetings, some of the staff would say, you know, the kids are really asking if they can just have some time and have a Google Meet where they can just talk and hang out virtually. And we need a teacher to observe that or listen to that. But we just talked. We ate breakfast together in the morning and talked. And then we'd get on to our curriculum as needed. But it was very comfortable to just hang out in the morning. And we started at 7:40 a.m. And they were all there ready to go.
Wow. If you're just joining us, we're talking with one of Wisconsin's 2022 Teachers of the Year, Patty Zemke, a sixth grade health teacher for the Wausau School District. You can join in. What questions do you have for a middle school health teacher and these experiences? What innovations in education do you want to stick around after the pandemic? What have you learned by teaching virtually? 800-642-1234. I'm wondering, Patty, you know, in the legislature, there's been a whole lot of pressure from lawmakers to have schools get back to in-person instruction. And as a teacher, did you feel that pressure to get back into the classroom?
I did not as a teacher. Personally, I wasn't pushing to have the students back into the classroom because we were doing just fine virtually. I love to see the students in the classroom. It's great to see the actual person in the face rather than just a little icon. But for me and my health class, we were doing pretty well online.
So what is your status now? When did you convert to in-classroom?
The students came back late February. And it was a great transition. You know, for example, you asked about, was it boring, or, you know, I teach health education, so our topics generally aren't boring, and people can think about their life and what's going on and assimilate with the topic. But the first day back in person, we were starting the topic of puberty.
And my students, that will get their attention.
Yes. And they were very vulnerable that first day. I asked them what was the most challenging part about puberty that they were expecting. And I had a student teacher who also started for the first time that day. And his eyeballs were so huge. They were as big as plates. Because you couldn't believe that the students were so forthcoming with what they thought the challenges were.
Did the students feel safe enough to learn and to focus in the classroom because they've had experience perhaps at home with COVID? Maybe a parent is an essential worker. And I know my little ones were so scared about returning to the classroom.
Well, we had the option if somebody didn't feel comfortable coming to school, they could still meet with us virtually. So I did have students that were still at home, and I had students in the classroom at the same time, which that was hard. You know, I liked it better when we were all virtual, and it would have been better if we were all in person. So having the split, the teaching was difficult because it seemed like the students at home kind of got left in the dust. Which was the good thing about having the student teachers. They could deal with the chat on the virtual meet and address the students at home while I addressed the students in the classroom. And then we would just switch so that he got to practice teaching too.
I feel like that would have been a challenge when you're trying to be two human beings, one meeting the expectations of the in-person class community and also having the students at home still in that virtual setup. Did you kind of feel like a tug of war between two, trying to, you know, go back and forth?
I did. And it was difficult. You know, sometimes I felt like the students at home would join the meet and then I don't know where they went. So like I would try to get their attention or, you know, type in the chat to them and they didn't necessarily respond. Where if that was happening in the classroom, then you just go up to that student and figure out what's going on. So if I wasn't connecting with them at home, it was really difficult to figure out what was happening and what I needed to do to help them.
What questions did your students have about the coronavirus?
I would say they didn't really have too many questions this year, but they did have questions when the pandemic first started the year before. And we would take time to talk about that in class. And I obviously didn't know that much about it. So we just kind of talked about fears and what their adults were doing to change lifestyle to address the issue.
So it sounds like you did some learning together.
Definitely. We learn together in health class a lot. There's times and I'm just like, well, I think we better Google that. Or so, yes, we practice learning together all the time.
We have middle school teacher from the Wausau School District, Patty Zemke, one of Wisconsin's 2022 Teachers of the Year. What do you want to tell a teacher? Do you work in education? What challenges have you faced in the hybrid environment, virtual and in-person classroom, doing both at once? Join in 800-642-1234. Looking back, looking at the future. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. Switching gears here on a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The pandemic, it shed light on challenges people encounter in doing their jobs remotely, especially people with disabilities. But it's also demonstrated that workplaces of all kinds can turn on a dime and make necessary accommodations. The Americans with Disabilities Act, the ADA, provides protections for ensuring no one can be discriminated against in the workplace due to a disability. And we'll look closer at that with your stories at 800-642-1234. Democratic Representative Jimmy Anderson of Fitchburg has quadriplegia and has sought accommodations in the past from assembly leadership for floor sessions. Representative Anderson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate. How's it going?
Doing well. Let's start with your thoughts on the role of the ADA and its protections and significance. Where are you at with the ADA?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, as we mark another anniversary, I think I'm always reminded of how lucky I am to live in a country where the ADA exists. We were at the forefront of disability laws when we passed it, but I do think that it's time for us to again push the boundaries and see what we can do to try to provide other assistance, other laws, other rights to those with disabilities, not just here in the state of Wisconsin, but nationwide.
The disability community has been particularly hard hit in this pandemic. We've seen higher rates of unemployment, inequitable vaccine rollouts, delayed stimulus checks for people on Social Security. What have you observed and heard what it's like to get through this pandemic for a person with a disability?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that individuals with disabilities, whenever that there's a significant event like a pandemic, for instance, are always going to be a harder hit. We always have to deal with significant hurdles, more obstruction, that there's more difficulties in getting access to the benefits. But I will say also that I think the pandemic showed people that individuals with disabilities with the right accommodations can get access to things like employment or being able to be better integrated into society. I think that we need to find more ways for us to be able to find ways to integrate individuals with disabilities into our society. And again, while the pandemic was incredibly difficult, I think it also opened up a lot of eyes into ways to make lives better for people with disabilities.
You've been involved in your own battle for accommodations as a lawmaker. What are the requests you've made?
Yeah, so I think in the beginning, it was mainly to get access to the phone system in order to get to be able to call into committee hearings was the big fight in the beginning. Got access to that, which was wonderful. It took way too much. It took way too much fighting. But now we're trying to take another step forward, and I'm trying to get access to being able to call in to actually vote on the floor of the legislature. And so far we've made the requests, so we're negotiating back and forth with the leadership there in the Capitol building, and hopefully we can make some progress.
Yeah, and you've made these requests under the ADA and have said you would pursue legal action if necessary. Where does all this stand?
Yeah, so right now we're negotiating. We're trying to figure out what leadership is comfortable with, what we can be accommodated with. You know, the ADA, what it says is that I'm allowed accommodations, but that they are accommodations that can work for me. And so if, you know, leadership comes to me and provides me a different kind of accommodation that will still meet my needs, under the law, those are some things I have to accept. But at the same time, they have to meet my needs. And so right now we're trying to define what those needs are and what we can do to meet those needs.
A request you made is to limit floor sessions to between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. And there have been complaints that the late evening marathon legislation debates, what they're doing for the state's ability to see what's going on, business in the dark, would ending late night floor sessions improve democracy?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Whether or not I'm in a wheelchair and whether or not that's difficult to do for as someone with a disability, I think these late night floor sessions are just awful. I mean, people are voting on bills in this kind of marathon session. You know, we have older legislators that are trying to stay up till 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes to vote on this stuff. But also just to be able to get access to the Capitol building itself is difficult. And then, you know, not being able to watch legislators as they're talking about why they're voting for these bills. I think it's really important for us to be able to do our work when the people are able to watch us. And so, yeah, I think we should be ending these late night floor sessions.
We're talking with Jimmy Anderson, who is a state representative from Wisconsin's 47th Assembly District, and we're looking at protections under the ADA and where Wisconsin is falling short on accessibility. You can join in 800-642-1234. Representative, I want to get to voting and absentee bills. Your Republican counterparts in the legislature have introduced bills that would make absentee voting more difficult. Who will that affect? How will that affect people with disabilities?
Yeah, I mean, again, much in the way that, climate change touches so many parts of our lives, whether it deals with infrastructure or inequality or any of these things, disability in the same way, whenever we're talking about, healthcare or environmental access, or in this case, voting rights, we always get impacted much more significantly than the broader public. And so right now there is attempts to try to clamp down on individuals' rights to vote, particularly absentee voting, which is the way in which the majority of individuals with disabilities vote. Not only is it sometimes difficult to get access to voting locations, a lot of people with disabilities don't have access to driver's licenses, which has made voter ID particularly difficult for us with disabilities. But now trying to make it even more difficult for us to be able to now I have to prove that we're disabled, which is, again, an offensive idea to begin with, something that I had to wrestle with when I was asking for my own accommodations, prying into our individual healthcare status and things like that, I think is inappropriate. It's wrong. I think that the current system works well and that there's obviously been zero voter fraud in the state, or at least so little that it would have zero impact on the outcome of any election, whether at the president level or down to state assembly. So I think that these bills are nothing more than an attempt to try to prevent people from voting, and I think they're wrong.
I want to quickly ask you about drop boxes, which were widely used in Wisconsin last year due to COVID. How do you feel about court challenges to the use of absentee ballot drop boxes?
Again, I think that anything we can do to try to encourage more people to vote, we should. It's one of my big frustrations as a legislator that, if a Republican were to come to me to try to find a way to try to expand voting access in rural communities, I'm all for it. Whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, I think what matters is that we try to get more people voting. And I will fight for a Republican's right to vote, to get access to that vote. I really wish my Republican colleagues felt the same way. And these drop boxes are a great way for individuals to vote, particularly in places where there can be congestion, with finding other ways for people to be able to drop off their ballots in more dense communities like the community that I represent is good. And so for them to try to squash it, I think it's just a terrible thing.
What solutions can you offer for improving the voting experience for the disability community, boosting participation, and making Wisconsin a more accessible state?
Well, speaking of a way to try to improve voting access in our more rural communities, I think that we should look towards the Oregon model, where basically it's all mail voting. I think Colorado does pretty much the same thing. I think they've proven that mail-in voting is secure, it's safe, that there's very limited instances in which individuals or voter fraud happens, and often it's by mistake where individuals are voting in the wrong area by forgetting to update their address for one instance. But regardless, I think mail-in voting, I think, is the best way to do it, be able to get people to access the voting box from their own homes. And that also would impact or improve the voting process for individuals with disabilities as well.
Representative Anderson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
Jimmy Anderson is a state representative from Wisconsin's 47th Assembly District, which includes Fitchburg, and voters first elected him to the Assembly in 2017. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Republican State Representative Donna Roser of Marshfield. Her district includes the city of Colby, and she's pushing legislation that would make Colby the official state cheese. What do you think should be the state cheese of Wisconsin? Should there be one at all? Join in 800-642-1234. There's more State Cap after a news update on the Ideas Network.